Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. It's Tara. Karen and I are excited to have you join us as we kick off a four-part series, Love Unveiled. In today's episode, we'll explore the notion that love isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling, but a deliberate choice, an action we engage in daily. Love requires vulnerability, commitment, and most importantly, active participation. It guides us as we nurture romantic partnership, forge friendships, and strengthen familial ties. Are you ready to embrace love as an action? Let's dive in.
Oh, man. We're going to dive in deep. We're going to dive in. It's so great to think about actively participating in giving and receiving love.
Yeah.
For all the different aspects of relationships. When my daughter was really little, I used to hang out with someone whose kids were really little, and she had three of them right in a row. And I remember her saying something about her husband at the time, like kind of being up in the bleachers, being on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Like, and she's down on the field. She's like, you need to get on the field. Right.
Get so, in the game.
Like, I feel sometimes we can be a little lazy with our relationships. We all need downtime, but remembering to get back on the field, get in the game.
Yeah. Get in the game.
Be there, right? Participating, flow, give and receive.
I think that once we become comfortable with the relationship, whatever that looks like, there is a laziness that settles in where it's like, well, this is working, but everything can always be better.
And it's always changing, whether you acknowledge it or not. It's always changing and evolving. So you want to roll with that and move with that and embrace and celebrate that. Yeah. When we think about coming up against change or transformation or revisioning something that we'd really like to see happen, there's that really strong pull to be like, I'm going to stay in comfort land.
Right. This
might
this
not
is
be
okay
happy,
for me.
But I know this pain. Mm. I know this feeling. I know how to respond to this. And let's develop new pathways.
Mm. Let's talk about love as an emotion versus love as a practice.
Oh, my goodness. I love this episode so much.
Yes. Love as an emotion is what we typically think of when we say love. It's the feelings of affection and passion and attachment that arise in relationships. Oftentimes, it's associated with romantic feelings. Mm. Infatuation and intense emotions. It's characterized by excitement and longing.
You don't say.
However, these emotions can be fleeting and are strongly influenced by external factors, including life circumstances, personal experiences, and even hormonal changes.
Yes.
All three of those.
Riding the ride, right? That experience of love is very, as you say, external. It's based on things that are happening and the reactions to it, or even the responses to it.
Yeah. But on the other hand, love as a practice emphasizes our actions and choices to nurture and sustain our relationships.
Mm. Choosing to spend time on that, choosing to spend energy and commitment and warmth, kindness, compassion with that person or persons.
Love as a practice is about putting in the effort, showing care, and being committed to the well-being of someone else. It acknowledges that love can grow and deepen through intentional actions.
I mean, that's how you get a long-term friendship, relationship. That's how you stay connected. You're paying attention. You're intentionally putting energy there. I think in our culture, and maybe this is just human nature, right? We do respond to that very intense, the goosebumping and the butterflies and all the things that jack up our nervous system. Like that, I mean, that in itself can be an addiction. It's like you're getting that blast of endorphins and that feels great. So let's keep doing that. What do you do when you still connect with that person, but it's not about that feeling? sort of starts to temper. You have to stay engaged.
I think if you talk to any older couple that's been married for 25, 30, 50 years or whatever, they are doing the things
right
to stay connected through love.
They're not just passively rolling by in the relationship. Mm-hmm. They're making efforts. They're seeing the other person and themselves evolve and change and grow and loving them through it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, loving them through it.
So many phrases.
Yeah.
So many things that we have talked about. It all comes back to love. It really all begins right there. Whether it's self-love or love of a child or a partner or a friend or community, whatever it is, a purpose, a project, it all starts with love.
Yeah. Okay. Our relationships are inherently complex, intricately woven with layers of emotions that shape our connections with others. Acknowledging this complexity begins with embracing vulnerability, which we firmly believe is the foundation for genuine intimacy and understanding.
Who? And I come to that guy, I'm like, you want me to show my full self?
Are you sure?
That has never been safe before. So vulnerability, opening to that, has been the greatest gift of my life.
Sometimes that gift is a little spiky, but yeah, it is a
but I
great
wouldn't
gift.
Say it's like really sharing yourself authentically with people that you trust and people who see you for who you really are, your authentic imperfectness. It's so human and so beautiful.
Yeah. The deeper we open our hearts, the higher the stakes become. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the risks and the rewards that come with love.
I'm picturing when I had my daughter, I was like, oh, damn. There's my heart outside of my body.
Outside of my body. Yeah.
That was my first real experience of that. Like, wow. This is beautiful and also very scary.
As you think about becoming a mother, at least for me, that is absolutely the purest form of love. Mm. This little person, they can't really give me anything right now, but I love them.
Ooh.
I don't know who they are yet or who they will become, but my whole self loves this person.
And that is the essence of what we're trying to say here today, I think, is that every relationship
can be that pure,
can come from that place. You can not even know that person really deeply in a physical way, but you can see someone, you can see a stranger and just feel that love because you know where they come from and where you come from, which is the same place, the same source of this love energy.
And I think, what was it? I was telling you from the service that I went to recently where he said, when we love people we prefer, that's not love at all.
Oh, man. That kills me. That is so true. If love feels easy, then we might want to look at the...
What are we really doing?
What are we doing? I mean, I'm not saying it has to be hard, but the ability to love people who piss you off.
Oh, my goodness.
Or you do not get, or you do not feel aligned with. If you can look past that and love that person, then you know
you're
doing
something. I think
you're doing
it right.
Yeah.
In terms of all of our relationships, we often find ourselves weighing the potential for heartaches and disappointments against the rewards of taking emotional risks. When we do that, we are essentially clamping down our vulnerability.
Right. Building some walls. That's coming from a place of fear.
And love as an emotion and as a feeling is a complex dance. There's always going to be the fear of getting hurt, but the possibility of meaningful connection and experiences makes it worthwhile to consider how we manage those risks.
Yes, I posted about this. I will never apologize for loving someone fully.
Mm-mm.
I just won't do it. It is my right and it is my responsibility. I feel that very strongly about, and I'm talking like strangers to partners to my children. I will love you fully and deeply and completely. And I get that that's a risk, that not everyone can return that.
Mm. Not everybody has the capabilities currently to do that. Every relationship carries the potential for pain.
Mm.
It looks like a falling out, unreciprocated feelings, or simply growing apart. The reality is that emotional risk can sometimes lead to heartaches. However, recognizing this is the first step to navigating relationships more wisely. When you go in knowing this could go awry, probably will at some point,
in some degree.
Yeah.
From 0 to 60, whatever, somewhere in there. It's not going to always feel good.
And
smooth sailing. Right.
Mm.
And being okay with that risk. I mean, it's in general in life. Like, I feel like if you're not risking something, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Big risk, big reward. Mm. Love is that.
Right. Mm.
Okay. So how do we manage these risks? The foundation is vulnerability. That vulnerability is underlied with trust.
They go hand in hand. they just sitting there right on top of each other, aren't they?
Yeah. So
you know, trust is my word for this year.
Oh,
so
yeah. Like, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yes. We choose to build trust with the people we care about. There's a certain level of trust that exists when we are encountering people we don't know.
Mm.
Part of trust looks like recognizing our walls.
Right.
And putting in the cheat codes to get around it so that we are leading openly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that comes from the awareness.
Starts with that awareness.
Starts with self-awareness.
Another strategy would be to set healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm. She laughing. Are you laughing at me?
A little bit. I am. A little bit. Ooh-wee. I'm laughing primarily because you have grown so much in this area of communicating your boundaries. What feels good for you? What isn't? This does not work for me. And this is why.
Right.
Because then you're giving the other person the opportunity to either choose differently.
To meet you where you are.
Or to run the other way. Whatever it is that they choose to do, you're giving them that choice.
But you're staying true to your own love, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're staying true to what feels right and good for you.
Yeah. When we know when to say no and recognize our own needs, this can help manage or mitigate the potential fallout of risk taking. It's a little bit of hedging your bets. Like, you're laying it all out there. This is what it is. Can you handle that?
The transparency of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of saying, this is what I want and need, and I'm sharing that with you to see how does that land, you know, in any of the relationships.
Can you meet me there?
Yeah. The sooner you're clear about what you want, the sooner you can transmit that information to someone else, and the sooner they can respond with yes or no or maybe or whatever, or I don't know, and then we have something.
Yeah, we have something to work with.
Yeah.
And then another strategy, I think we've been hinting at it all along, is to practice self-reflection. You got to take the time to know you, what you want, what you need, what you deserve, before you can even communicate that to someone else.
First step in anything is self-awareness.
Yeah. This self-awareness guides our choices and enables us to take calculated emotional risk rather than impulsive ones. Ooh, it's a little impulse control.
No. I don't like that so much. Well, I can see where I get into some trouble.
We all do it one point to one extreme or the other. Despite the potential for disappointment, the rewards of opening your heart can lead to growth, deeper connections, and enriching experiences. Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Embracing the ups and downs of relationships teaches us resilience.
Riding the ride, not jumping off just because you're panicked that you might get hurt or that you're being vulnerable or getting defensive. It's riding the ride.
Ride the ride.
The true open heart.
With a true open heart. The journey through emotional connections is not merely about navigating risks. I know it sounds like, oh, it's all risk. It's all risk and no reward.
Yeah, we do seem to be hard. It is a lot of that.
It's also about actively nurturing the bonds. That's the intention that bring joy and meaning to our lives.
Mm.
Let's give our listeners some practical tips for relationship wellness.
Yes, let's.
One of our favorites is active listening.
Oh, yeah. Does the person receive what you're saying? Can you adjust so that they can receive it? It's that transactional.
Mm-hmm. And one component of active listening, especially as it comes to love and relationships, is using those I statements rather than saying, you never listen to me. I understand. I need.
I feel. That is such beautiful advice, because when you're feeling reactive and you come at somebody, what do you think they are? Are they going to just let you punch? No, they're going to put their hands up. They're going to defend.
Yeah.
You can't come at somebody in that energy, that spirit of things, and expect really anything but defensiveness.
Yeah.
take a breath or five or a day.
To really recenter and focus.
Right. Like, look within. Why was that a trigger? What was upsetting me? How can I let this person know? How can I communicate this in a healthy way so that it lands well and that we can move forward? Mm.
Another tip is to share our thoughts and feelings without judgment. So we should create safe spaces for open expression in our relationships.
Yes. That lands for me with my kids. Say all day long, you can tell me anything. Is there anything you want to talk about? Like, but you have to, like, it's a feeling that you create. It's not a pressure. It's not a pushing. It's how you're living your life and modeling it. And they know they can come to you and you're not going to judge or even try to fix. As parents, we always try to fix. How about we just listen without judgment and say, I understand, or I hear you, or wow, that must really be tough. You know,
that's it.
And then close them.
Not well, have you considered, well, maybe you need to do da da da. Yeah. Wow, that must be tough.
And then let them lead the conversation.
Another tip is be open to feedback.
Ooh, humans do not like that, right? Unless you really deeply have done some inner work where you are like, I love myself no matter what. I love myself. This is not about me. Unless you've done this, like,
the feedback can feel like a personal attack when you've not centered yourself that way. Right. We should be open to how someone interprets or reacts to our feelings and actions.
Right. Especially our actions. You know, feelings, well, yeah, I guess that's complicated. But both, because if somebody says something like, I didn't like when you did this. Okay, I can hear that and receive that and change the behavior. When somebody is attacking you on a feeling level,
It gets a little messy.
I feel like it might get messy.
It gets a little messy. It's like, well, thank you for sharing your feelings. I can't do that. Like, that's yours.
Right.
Your feelings are yours.
Right. Right.
Like, what behavior would you like me to change?
The behaviors, the active pieces of that. You can feel any way all day long, any which way, and you can share that with me. I can't do anything about how you feel about it, but if you need me or want me to change something, then let's talk about that.
It goes beyond just the feeling. A lot of times we stop at step one, which is, I felt sad. Okay. About what? Like, what did I do that made you sad? What did I do that made you feel that way? It's like, when you did this, I felt blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a bit more constructive and productive to building this relationship rather than, you made me so mad. Congratulations.
Like, in general?
Like, what do you mean? Existence? Like, where? Can we nail it down a little bit?
Yeah. Getting civic, right? And the feedback. Yeah. And that's right? When someone's giving you feedback. Because it really is about them. But if you want the relationship to thrive and to be healthy, you got to start somewhere. And if that's what they've got, then
great.
Go from there.
I got a song.
Oh, yay. It's a dance time.
It is time to dance. This song captures love as an emotion and love as an action. And how we use that to navigate through life with courage. And the song is by Florence and the Machine, You've Got the Love.
Let's check it out.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
Yes, indeed.
Sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up.
Gosh. And at the end of the day, I love that lyric where she's like, something about loss.
Oh, you lose? Yeah. That's part of
the risk
it.
That we're talking about, right? It. I saw a reel with Andrew Garfield. You know who he is. He's one of the Spider-Man actors, but he's also played Jonathan Larson in the movie that depicted his life as he was writing Rent and his tragic, untimely death. Andrew had just lost his mother, and he was talking about how grief is really just unexpressed love. You've got all this love inside. He's like, I don't want my grief to be gone because that's an indicator of how much I love her.
Yeah.
And it was just this beautiful expression of deep love and how you're going to hurt at some point. It's sort of like the exchange for that feeling of love, which is the greatest feeling that can exist between two people.
Okay. Karen and I We've got the love. And that means it's time for today's question of the day. All right.
QOTD.
I want Karen to buckle up a little bit because this might be a little, a little deep.
Oh, yeah.
What personal belief impacts how you express love as an action?
Ooh, sister. Oh, man. That is a beauty.
I told you.
That is a beauty.
I told you.
You're going to have to go first.
All right.
But that is many levels.
So many
the ground.
Ways that we
that
can
is
go
like
with this.
Almost at the core of me. Oh,
I had to dig for this one myself, but the personal belief that affects how I show up as love in action is servant leadership.
Say more, please.
Yes.
Yes.
In
this, understand servant leadership.
Is about prioritizing the welfare, the well-being of those we love over our own personal interests. It's putting others first. In my marriage, I think that is the biggest reflection of the opportunity to put this into practice. Because I was a single lady for a while, which means I could do whatever I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it.
Right. I feel that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just like, I don't have to worry about anybody else but myself.
Right.
And then when I chose to become a wife, it took me a little bit to fully internalize and put into practice. Again, not doing this perfectly because I still have my days. Right. No, it's so, progress, not perfection. To think about and consider what my husband would want, what he would need. Mm-hmm. Over what I would want or what I would need. And that is a foundation we've had to remind several people close to us. Our priority is we are partners first, mm-hmm. then parents, then it's the people we love.
Mm-hmm.
This is the order.
Yeah.
If something, you know, outside of number one tries to come and trump it, it's like, this does not serve this number one. Mm-hmm. We're partners.
Do you think that you beginning to see and consider this person that you love so dearly, are you doing that as an individual or are you doing that in light of your partnership?
It's keeping in sight the partnership. Yeah. It's about compassion and empathy and encouraging him as he encourages me to be whole, to be better, to show up as the best versions of ourselves, so that in those other spaces as parents or as interacting with the people we love, we can be fully present.
Yes. And to have someone that you're partnered with in your corner encouraging that and not feeling resentful or jealous of the things that you need to do to be that person and to have that support and that love, that is, that is just so beautiful.
The highest calling of leadership is to serve others, not to be served.
Right. The best leaders are those in companies or whatever that are considering everyone. Yeah. It's not about what works for me. You know, let's make this work for everyone. Yes.
So that's my answer to the QOTD, the personal belief that impacts how I express love as an action.
Ooh, I got so into your answer that I'm like,
what are we doing?
What am I trying to explore? My personal belief.
Belief that impacts how you express love as an action.
Okay, I got it. I believe that until we can look inside ourselves and love ourselves deeply and completely as we are in this moment, no other relationship is going to serve or be at its highest or best form. Mm. Nothing else can come that is fully congruent and love. You cannot love something or someone else. You cannot serve a relationship if you have not looked within to see the broken pieces and to love yourself. I'm not saying you have to fix the broken pieces. Sometimes all we have to do is acknowledge that they're there. Until we can do that, it doesn't need to take a lot of effort. It's really more about your attention and your intention. Why am I so hard on myself? Or whatever it is, just keep pouring the love as best as you can from yourself to yourself within, right? Just keep filling yourself with love. I talked to you about that image I have where I just let the light of love flow into my physical body and my energy body. Just pour that, pour it until you get to a place where you're like, yeah, I've got this and this and this, and I'm working on those things. But regardless, I love myself deeply and completely. And then you can take that out into the world.
Mm, that's how it works. You love from the overflow.
Oh, yes.
So you have to
love
be
that image.
Full first, yes, in order for it to even be done
authentically.
Mm-hmm, from the overflow.
Yes. If you are not resourced with, yeah, your own love, then you have no overflow to share.
Like, you're making it hard
for everybody. It's going to impact everybody. At some point, it's going to be, you know, I was doing that exact thing. When I had my children, I just kept outpouring until I did not recognize myself anymore. Mm. I didn't even know who I was. And I certainly wasn't showing myself love,
right,
like deep love. I wasn't appreciating and loving myself with kindness and compassion. And I broke, because once the well gets so dry, right? Like, the bottom of the well is dry. That dirt is cracking.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be some breaks and no more water.
We just took a journey.
You know, that happens sometimes.
We just took a journey. Explorers, as we wrap up this first episode in our Love Unveiled series, we hope you feel inspired to embrace love as an emotion and an action in your relationships. Thank you for joining us in this exploration. We encourage you to approach your relationships with renewed energy and consider how you can actively express love in your everyday life. So I found a quote.
Oh,
I can't wait. From American author Jodi Picoult.
Oh, yeah.
Love her books.
All right. Love her, yes.
And she said, "You don't love someone because they're perfect. You love them in spite of the fact that they're not."
That is true and deep love. Yes, I see you and I love you anyway.
Explorers, be sure to join us for our next episode where we're going to be discussing how we express and receive love. Until then, keep nurturing those connections and remember that every small act of love contributes to something much greater.
And explorers, I'm going to remind you to love yourself, to hug yourself, to speak kindly to yourself so that you can then share real love with the world and everyone in your life. Thank you for joining us. This has been a beautiful conversation. We'll see you all next time. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenies in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.